Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Personal growth coach Stephen Scoggins recalls one of the last times that he saw his mentor, Steve Myrick, a few weeks before he passed away. Steve Myrick was a great man and entrepreneur who had experienced a high level of financial success. And the last time that Stephen saw him, he was in a hospital bed covered with tubes. And Stephen's father happened to be with him. And he said to Myrick, he began to praise him for all of his great accomplishments he had achieved in his life. And Myrick said this, and I quote, he says, "What good are all my accomplishments if I don't have my health?" Now, I realize that Myrick was talking about his physical health, his physical condition. But when I read that, I began to think about how our health is not just limited to our physical body. That our health really encompasses many different facets of our being, of who we are. And those facets contribute to whether or not we're healthy. It also hit me that you can be a success and it not be healthy for you. In fact, some people have encountered worldly success, but it's actually destroyed them and they end up being a failure. And this morning, we're going to be starting a series called Healthy Success. I want to welcome everybody here. It's great to have you with us. Thanks for being here today. Also, those who are watching online, we're glad that you're joining us and hope that you'll be with us for the next few weeks as we dive into what does it mean to be a healthy success. I said this last week. I threw this question out to our whole Easter crowd. I says, how many of you want to be a success? Raise your hand. About every hand goes up, or I see heads nodding for those that are too tired to raise your hand because I know that is such a laborious labor to put your hand up. How many want to be a failure? Yeah, nobody wants to be a failure. And so I hope you'll journey with us the next few weeks as we talk about what it means to be a healthy success. When you build a building, before you ever put up a wall, install a door, install a window, there's something you do first. And it's in your notes this morning on the back of your worship program. A solid foundation is required for a successful building. A solid foundation. You need a solid foundation for you to have a successful building. Jesus talked about the importance of a good foundation in the parable of the wise man and foolish man in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Realize in that story, you really have two people who built two identical houses. The only thing different was the foundation they were on. But that foundation determined if the building stood or if it fell. And so we're going to be talking about foundations. And another thing about foundations in your notes is that the deeper the foundation, the higher the building can go. The deeper you lay the foundation, the higher it can go. There are some skyscrapers that their foundations go 100 meters into the ground. That's taking a football field in one end zone, tipping it up, ramming it down into the ground. That's the foundation that some of these skyscrapers are built upon. The deeper the foundation goes, the higher we can go. And the thing is, the deeper we build these seven foundations in our life, the more God can do in us and through us. So we're going to talk about the seven foundations. And it's not just that we have all seven, but that we have all seven strong and solid and deep in our lives, because weakness in any of these foundations can lead to catastrophe. In your notes this morning, we're going to talk about the first and most important foundation. What is it? It's the spiritual foundation. The first and most important foundation is your spiritual health. How healthy are you spiritually? You see, last week there were many people who raised their hand and says, I want to become a follower of Jesus. But once you become a follower of Jesus, it's not over. God wants you to grow and to develop your spiritual health. We see in Matthew 16, verse 26, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, the spiritual part of us, it lasts forever. It lasts forever. So our spiritual health is essential. What's the greatest commandment Jesus said? Love the Lord your God. That is the greatest commandment. And so this morning, I want you to assess the health of your love for God, because that's really what it all boils down to. You see, Christianity is about you and I having a love relationship with God, that we love Him first and foremost in our lives. And you and I have a choice in our health. We see this in Mark chapter 4 when Jesus told the parable of the sower, and he says, some seed sown on the roadside, some sown in stony ground, some in ground with thorns, some on good ground. And he says, these are the ones sown on the good ground, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You see, we make a big deal about the earthly things in life. How much money do you have? What do you accomplish in your career? What kind of vehicles, houses, clothing? What kind of stuff have you accumulated? What kind of awards do you receive? Our physical appearance. We invest tons of time, effort, and money into acquiring these things in the world, but these things don't last. Only your soul, only my soul is going to last. And that's why this spiritual health issue is so vitally important. You decide how healthy you will be. Look at your neighbor and say, you decide. This is your choice. You're going to be 30%, 60%, 100%. If your heart's only functioning at 30%, how healthy are you going to be? Not very. My prayer is that over these next few weeks, as we talk about this, that we will say, God, I want to go all in. And most of all, starting today, is this spiritual health foundation. All right? Three components of spiritual health. Number one, spiritual nutrition. Just as you need physical food, you need spiritual food. You need spiritual nutrition. And spiritual nutrition, it involves practices that feed and detox our spirit. There are certain foods you eat. When you eat them, they give you healthy proteins, healthy carbs for you to build muscle, to build strength, and to build health. There's also foods that we eat that detox our bodies. And there are practices that both feed us and detox us. And so we're going to take a look at those today. Letter A in your notes is the Word of God. The Bible is spiritual food for us. In Bible times, the main staple of food was bread. They didn't have refrigerators like we do, so they couldn't store meat. Meat was kind of a luxury to have, but bread was what the main food source was. That's why Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Give us food to eat every day. And this is what Jesus likened the Word of God to in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus said, just as you need bread to live, to sustain yourself every day, you need the Word of God. You can't live on on physical bread alone. You need spiritual bread. You need spiritual food. And the Bible is like spiritual food. You know, when I read the Bible personally, I find comfort in it when I'm down. I find encouragement. It picks me up. I find guidance. There's times God just prompts me to do things or speaks to me about my life. There's sometimes that it's a detoxing agent because God convicts me of sin. He convicts me of righteousness. It's like, God, forgive me. And so it detoxes me and it makes me healthy. The Word of God makes us strong. It is a rock. Jesus said, he who hears these sayings of mine, we just read that about the wise man, and builds on them, is like a man or a woman who builds their house on a rock. God's Word is a rock to build our lives on. And we need to be people that are regularly taking in God's Word in our life. Don't be like what I was when I was in junior high and high school, where, you know, if I felt really down and really low and really empty, okay, now I'll take some time and be in the Word and take some time with God. But when everything's going fine, if I just go to church once a week and let my pastor spoon feed me, then I'm good. Friends, if you eat only once a week, how strong are you going to be? Not very strong. How many of you eat every day? Raise your hand. Be honest. There's some of you don't have your hands up. Yeah, right. Yeah. That one's too tired. Raise their hands. Maybe because they haven't eaten yet today. But we eat every day so that we can do what we need to do. But we need to feed our spirit man every single day. And the Word of God is life. It is sustenance. It is a rock. It gives peace. It gives joy. It gives hope. It gives encouragement. It is a light in the times of darkness. It is a sword, a weapon that God gives us to fight against the enemy, against his lies and his schemes, and to defeat him. It's truth that we build our lives on so that we can be victorious in Christ and have an abundant life in Jesus. We need to be reading the Bible, thinking and meditating about the Bible, memorizing the Bible. The Bible needs to be part of our life. And then as we read the Bible, we need to make sure that we are reading it and interpreting it correctly. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We don't read the Bible and then twist it and manipulate it to satisfy our own selfish desires. I know some people who do that. Our lives, when we read the Bible, it should cause us to draw closer to God, serving God and serving others more, not serving ourselves. Don't twist Scripture that way. And also, when you read something in the Bible, it needs to line up with the rest of the Bible. You just can't say, well, I like this here, but it contradicts. You make it mean something that would contradict the rest of the Word of God. If you've been around long enough, you've heard me share the story when I was a youth pastor in Salt Lake City, Utah, that one of the kids in my youth group, their father divorced their mother. And the dad said, well, he was having an affair with a woman. He says, well, God is my father, and a good father makes his children happy. And this affair makes me happy, so therefore this affair is right. He justified his own selfish desires with a skewed view of what the Bible says, just forgetting the commandment that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, when I heard that, because I heard that secondhand from someone, I wanted to go say, does this affair make your kids happy? Are you being a good father? But you see, that's what some people can do. We can twist the Word of God to make it mean something it doesn't mean. And so you need to be careful and rightly divide the Word of truth. Now, some of you might say, man, I really don't know how to get something out of the Word of God. Well, you know what? Next week, we start Growth Track. And in those 4 weeks of lessons, we're going to teach you how to learn how to get something out of God's Word. So if you feel you struggle in this area, we invite you next Sunday at 9 o'clock in the library. The door is right to the right when you walk in, and we're going to help you learn how to rightly divide the Word of truth and get something out of the Bible so you can feed yourself. And that's not just for new believers, but maybe you've been a Christian for quite a while, or you just feel like, I'm kind of stuck. I'm not really getting anything out of the Bible. I encourage you to come to Growth Track next week. Go ahead and sign up at the sheet at the sign-up center so that we can make sure we have enough materials, all right? Okay, let's go on. So this first practice is the Word of God. The second practice that feeds us and detoxes us is prayer. And prayer is simply talking to God. It's a conversation that builds relationship with God. We just mentioned how bread was the main source in Bible times. Not only was the Word of God likened to bread, but Jesus likened prayer to bread. When he taught the disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." He didn't teach us to ask for weekly bread, because if you ask for weekly bread and you get weekly bread, you only have to ask once a week. Jesus wanted us to ask every single day, because prayer is food that sustains us. Prayer, as we praise God, we love God, we thank God. And there are times as we're praying, God will convict us of sin. And so as we confess our sin, it detoxes our spirit. Prayer feeds us, it helps us, it helps us to grow closer to God. I encourage you to become a person of prayer. God knows what you will go through today and tomorrow and every day. And that's why Jesus said, "Lead us not into temptation." It's like, God, you know what I'm going to face today, what trials, the things that are going to hurt me that I could take offense to. God, I need your help. I need your strength to make it through this day. Prayer is a vital part of your spiritual health. And as we're talking about the Bible and talking about prayer, I just want you to kind of assess, where are you at health-wise, feeding yourself with the prayer and the Word of God? Prayer makes me intimate with God. If I only spoke to my wife once or twice a week, just for 2 or 3 minutes, how many know that I would probably need some marriage counseling, huh? Yeah, I would. I need to take regular time talking with her, not just a quick, "How you doing? I love you. You know, thank you, God, for this food because it is so good. Amen." For some of us, that's the extent of our prayers. You know, the blessing over the food, if we even do that. No, a healthy, strong love relationship needs continual, deep, intimate communication. Do you realize that you can tell God how you honestly feel? There's nothing you say that's going to shock God. Sometimes it's like, well, I can't tell God what I'm struggling with. I can't tell him how I feel, how angry I am, or how sad I am, how depressed I am, how lonely I am. I can't tell him any of that. He already knows. He already knows. He wants you to be honest and open with him, because that's what friends do. And God wants to be your very best friend. So develop a prayer life. And again, you might say, "You know, I really don't know how to pray." Well, you know what? Take a guess what's happening the next few weeks. Growth Track, yeah. And we're going to teach you how to pray at Growth Track. So whether you're a new believer or whether you've been a Christian a long time and you feel you're stuck in prayer or no one ever taught you how to pray, come to Growth Track. When is it?
Next Sunday, 9 a.m.
We're giving you the cheat code right up there, okay? On the screen, Sunday, 9 a.m. Come for those 4 weeks, because we're going to help you develop spiritual health in your life. Now, this last practice that feeds us and detoxes us, letter C, is serving in God's will. Serving in God's will. You maybe really never thought of serving as spiritual food, but we're told in John's Gospel of a time when Jesus and the disciples were passing through the country of Samaria. The Samaritans were half Jew, half Gentiles, and so the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans, and vice versa, the Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews. There was a lot of ethnic conflict between the two. And it was about noontime when they come to this well that's outside of the city of Sychar. The disciples go into town to get some food because Jesus is weary, he's tired. He sits down next to this well, and a lady from Sychar, she comes to draw water. And in this process, Jesus begins a conversation with her, begins to talk about kind of spiritual food. God, you can have it where you never thirst again. He talks about what it means to be a true worshiper of God. And the Lord gives him a word of knowledge that the man, that she's been married five times and the man she's living with now is not her husband. She goes, wow, you're a prophet. And he says, yeah, lady, I'm more than a prophet. I'm the Messiah. And she realizes who he is, and she goes into town. His disciples come back with lunch, and they say, here. And Jesus says, I'm not hungry. They say, what? And this is what he responds to them in John chapter 4, verse 32. I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Friends, something happens when we step into God's will, when we step into serving and doing what he's asked us to do. And sometimes it is where God just opens up a conversation. He opens a situation and we begin to talk and share. How many of you have ever had God open a door like that for you to be able to pray for someone or minister to someone? He opens a door. And what does it feel like when you're done? Woo! A spiritual high, it feeds you. But you gave out. You didn't receive, but as you gave out, it ministered to you. And whether it's feeling called to be on the worship team or the tech team or serve in kids' church or in some ministry of the church, or God opens up a conversation or something throughout the day at school or at work, as we say, God, I want to serve. I want to do your will. I want to help all people find and follow Jesus, because that's the will of the Father. As I'm engaged in the will of the Father, it feeds us, but it does something else. It detoxes us. Because as we're serving, it takes our eyes off ourselves and our own problems. And so many times when we get, when we're going through a really difficult time, one of the best things to do to help overcome the spiritual gloominess, the doldrums, any depression you might be sinking into, and that can really happen, is to serve other people. Look for ways to help other people, because it is food that builds you up and strengthens you. Jesus said it this way, or excuse me, the disciples said it this way in Acts 20, verse 35. And this is interesting. These are the words of Jesus, but we don't have them recorded anywhere in Scripture. We don't know where they are. John did say there are so many things that Jesus did and said that if we wrote them, the books of history could not contain them. This must be one of those things, because they said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so we need to feed ourselves. That's the first aspect of spiritual health, is spiritual nutrition. Three main things: the Word of God, prayer, and serving others. All right? Say it with me. The Word, prayer, serving. Say it again. The Word, the prayer, and serving. All right? Those are the three key core elements of spiritual nutrition. Now, there's also spiritual exercise. How many like exercise? Wouldn't it be great if, you know, just you could exercise without having to work at it? But then it wouldn't be exercise. We have spiritual exercise, just like physical exercise gives us health. We need spiritual exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul said, reject profane and old wives' tales, fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Paul compares physical training for an athlete with spiritual training or exercising, developing godliness for the follower of Jesus. What is godliness? We have it there in your notes. It's devotion, it's worship to God, it's holiness to God. You could write this down. It's reflecting Christ's character. It's reflecting the character of Jesus. It involves honesty, integrity. involves purity of motion, of actions and attitudes. It's living a godly life, and we're to exercise godliness. Now, physical conditioning is important, but physical conditioning is way more important because you know what? When we die, our physical conditioning doesn't do us any good. But this spiritual exercise of exercising godliness, it reaps for us an eternal reward. Paul said in Colossians 3, chapter 2, to set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. And we need to be exercising, God, how can I be like you? That needs to be our number one goal. It's not about what we do, it's about who we are. God's more concerned about with who we are than what you and I ever do for him. One of the most difficult times to exercise godliness is when you experience disappointment with God. When you feel like God has let you down. The past few months, a couple of guys I went to college with, they posted on Facebook how their wives have died from cancer. A few weeks ago, my wife got to go to a conference in another city, another state, and she got to meet up with her college roommate. She lost her husband 3 years ago, and she's still grieving. These two guys, they're still grieving. And you know, the thing that sometimes you just don't get is they were godly couples. They loved each other. One was a pastor. The other two, they're actively involved in ministry. And it's like, God, why them? Why didn't you take the spouse of a couple? They just can't stand each other. They hate each other. They don't want to be around each other. Why didn't you break one of those marriages up? Why a good, godly marriage of 30-plus years, they love each other, they're building the kingdom. Why, God? It doesn't make sense. And I think a lot of us can point to situations in our own lives or other people's lives where we could say, this doesn't make sense, God. I don't understand it. And friends, when you encounter disappointment with God, that's one of the most difficult times to exercise godliness. Because you feel like, God, I've been serving you. I've been honoring you. I've been devoted. And now you do this to me? You allow this to happen to me? God, after all I've sacrificed, I've been faithful. God, why? Why has this happened? And friends, the Bible says, though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. The thing is, a lot of times the morning is not 24 hours. Not even 24 days, sometimes not 24 months. The question is, when you experience disappointment with God, will you continue to exercise godliness? Will you set your mind on things above and not on things on earth? Because do you realize that in heaven, they're neither given in marriage nor married? That's going to be the weird thing. It's like, you know, I kind of think, man, I love my wife, I love my kids, and they're the closest relationships I've got. But do you realize in heaven, we're going to feel that way about all of us because we're all brothers and sisters, part of the family of God. That love we have for our earthly family, that's what we're going to feel in heaven. We're not going to be given in marriage in heaven. And yet it is so easy to focus on what's happening to me now. And I'm not trying to minimize anyone's pain, anyone's suffering that you're going through. If you've lost a loved one, or if you've had a dream, you felt God gave you a promise and it died. If you're going through something, if you're experiencing a health situation or a financial situation, something, and it's just eating you alive, I'm not minimizing that. But what I'm saying is set your mind on things above. What does it profit if God gave you everything you wanted, but you lose your soul? Absolutely nothing. And you could flip that around. What does it profit you if you lose everything but gain your soul? You've gained everything. This aspect of spiritual health is the most important foundation of your life. If you don't have it, you will fail. It will destroy you, unfortunately, in hellfire and brimstone. And so exercise godliness no matter what. Are you healthy enough to withstand a tangle with tragedy? Or when it happens, you become angry and bitter at God, or depressed, and you just withdraw from God and from everyone else, and you just isolate yourself. Maybe even entertaining thoughts of taking your own life. If you do that, you need to go to a Christian counselor and talk to them about that. Don't, if you're going through pain, you need to share it with someone. From personal experience, when I go through disappointment with God, I need to go to close, trusted armor bearers and talk with them about it, because as you share the pain, you process it, it helps it. Don't keep the pain inside. Don't keep it inside. I know a young lady who tried to take her life, and she talks about how the greatest thing that's helped her is being able to share and being able to talk and process the pain she was going through. That's what's helped her come to emotional and mental health. You can't go through it alone, so don't withdraw. Exercise godliness. Never give up on God. Our last component of spiritual health is kind of tied into this last part that we talked about with disappointment with God, and it's spiritual rest. Spiritual rest. And it's rest in maybe a different way than you've ever thought of rest before. We read about it in Psalm 37, verse 5 through 7. It says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." When we encounter trials, we can feel like the whole world is against us. Everything's fallen apart. And the question is, when you feel that way, do you still commit your way to the Lord? Do you still say, like Job said, even though He slays me, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to stay committed. I'm going to trust Him. Do I leave the whole matter with God and say, "Lord, the results are up to You. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to follow You no matter what." Do I accept God's sovereignty over my situation? Do I trust that He's going to work all things together for good to those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose? Instead of staring at how bad things are, do I fix my eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of my faith? Do I trust in the Lord with all my heart, not leaning on my own understanding, trying to figure it out, but in all my ways submitting to Him and saying, "God, You're going to direct my paths, and I trust You that there are good paths, that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life"? Do you realize when David said that, he didn't say, "I encountered goodness and mercy all the days of my life"? Don't you wish that happened? That you encountered goodness and mercy all the days? Never any trials? Never any problems? We think we would, but really, we become strong through our trials. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 talks about that, how it says that when we go through, "I glory in the tribulations because tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and the love of God's been poured in us, and hope does not disappoint." We go stronger through trials, but we've got to be feeding ourselves, detoxing ourselves, need to be exercising godliness, devotion to God no matter what. "And I'm going to rest in You, God, no matter what's going on in my life." God is good. All the time? Do you really believe that? Even when good isn't happening at the time? My wife and I pastored in Sioux City, Iowa many years ago. And there was a couple that lived across the street and tried to build relationships with all of our neighbors. One of the best ways I did it was by snowblower evangelism. In the Midwest, we would get 2-3 feet of snow, not inches, but feet. And I'd go and blow a lot of people's drives out. And, you know, there's the couple across the street, Joe and Kim. Of all the people that would show up in church, I never thought it was going to be them, even though I'd been reaching out to them. There's just no evidence of a hunger for God. But one Father's Day Sunday, they show up in church. And I was like, wow, okay. And so that kind of opens the door. And so we now try to build a relationship more and more conversations, and they keep coming to church. And after a couple of months, they came to Christ. They started going to a class similar to Growth Track. They began growing in the Lord and building relationships, kept coming to church, getting strong. I started meeting one-on-one with Joel weekly and just helped him to grow spiritually. And after a couple of years, Joe and Kim, they became the directors of our servant evangelism, an outreach to the community, just showing God's love in a practical way. They led that for many years, and then Kim started having some health issues, went to the doctor. She is diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And over the course of time, she lost control of her body. She just kind of started shaking and couldn't control it, and her speech started getting slurred, and then it began to paralyze her where she couldn't do much, had to be in a wheelchair and really couldn't talk. You couldn't understand her. And as a church, we're praying, we're believing for God to do a miracle, and this goes on for months. And God chose to heal Kim by taking her home to heaven. Joe really struggled with that. Stopped coming to church. Didn't want to meet together anymore. Stopped reading his Bible. Stopped praying. And after a while, started dating a non-Christian. Really got more into the relationship, and then it went bad and broke up, and eventually moved away. Not following God. I've tried to make contact with Joe over the years, but don't get a lot. Some friends of ours we just talked to said he's going back to church now, but I don't know where he's at spiritually. There's one thing I do know, is that Kim's in heaven, and that's not the reason to commit your life to God so you can see your loved one again. But friends, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? I don't know what trials, what tribulations you're going to go through or what you're going through right now. But it does not pay to forfeit your faith, to give up on God. But friends, you need to be healthy and be preparing now. So when it comes, because Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. It's a guarantee. It's a promise, the one promise we hate to claim in the Bible. But if you're strong, you're feeding yourself and detoxing yourself with the Word of God, with prayer, with serving, you're exercising godliness. God, I want to be like you no matter what. No matter what it costs me. And God, I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to commit my way to you. I'm going to trust in you no matter what. I accept your sovereignty in my life. As you have proper nutrition, exercise, and rest in the Spirit, you will have a strong spiritual foundation that will carry you through anything, no matter what storm hits your life, whether they're hurricane force winds of 500 miles an hour, which has never happened in the history of the world. It doesn't matter. If you've built your foundation on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He says, you will be strong and stand. How's your spiritual health this morning? Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you would help us to honestly assess where we are at with you right now. And God, that we will cooperate with your Holy Spirit and make any changes that are needed in our lives. As I'm talking with everyone here who's in person this morning and those who are watching online, I just want to ask you to take a spiritual health checkup. Come to the great physician this morning and let the Holy Spirit just kind of assess your life and diagnose and see if there's anything in your life that is lacking. What areas are strong and what areas do you need to work on? First, the area of spiritual nutrition. How well are you feeding yourself? Are you spending regular, ample time in God's Word and in prayer? Are you saying, God, I'm serving. I want to serve others. I want to hear what you're calling me to do every day. And kind of for my life's journey, God, I want to be involved and active in serving others. In the area of exercise and godliness, how well are you reflecting the character of Christ? Are there some attitudes? Are there some actions? How's your work ethic? What's your thought life like? When no one's around, when no one watches you, when no one sees what's going on, what do you think about? What do you watch? What do you listen to? What do you do? Are you the same person in private as you are in public? Do you have integrity? If people saw you, do they say, man, that's what Jesus looks like? And then finally, spiritual rest. Are you trusting God, resting in God to take care of everything in your life? This morning, as the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, how many would say, you know, there are some things in my life that I need to improve, my nutrition, my exercise, my rest? You just lift your hand up and say, there's some things I got to work on. I see hands going up all over. Thank you for your honesty. That's great. Lord God, I pray for these people right now who are saying, Lord, you're showing me things in my life that I need to become stronger. I need a greater foundation with you. I want you to lift your hands up right now if you raised your hand. God, we're saying yes to what you want us to do. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd show us what disciplines, what practices, what habits you want us to instill in our life. God, what things that we need to lay down, the people that we maybe need to talk to about the situations we're going through. Lord God, help us to be strong. Help us to grow in these areas as we're admitting we need help. We're nothing without you. Holy Spirit, help us. We partner with you. We surrender to you. Help us become spiritually strong and establish firm, solid foundations. Thank you, Lord. There may be some of you here this morning, you're not followers of Jesus. You don't have spiritual life. The Bible talks about that before we surrender our lives to Christ, that we're dead in our trespasses and sin. And maybe some of you would say, you know, I realize that I'm separated from God. My sin separates me, and I need to be forgiven of my sin. You see, God loved us so much. He knew we couldn't save ourselves. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And Christ took our death penalty. And if we say, God, I can't save myself. I turn from my sin. Please forgive me. I want to follow you. I want you to be my leader. Then we start a relationship with God, and we encounter his love. And if you're here this morning with no one looking around, I want everyone just, this is a moment between you and God alone. How many would say this morning, you know, I realize that I need to be saved of my sin. I need to start a relationship with God. Would you just put your hand up? Then you can put it back down. Thank you here in the front. Anyone else this morning? God's drawing you. You realize you're not right with God. That if you died today, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. Anyone else in the house, you'd say, I want to receive Christ as my Savior this morning. For those who are watching online, if God's speaking to you, just you can put your hand up wherever you're at, wherever you're viewing us today, and just say, God, I want to be forgiven, and I want to follow you. I want to surrender my life to you. Anyone else here in the building, you'd say, I want to follow Christ today. I'm going to say this prayer, and I'd like each person to repeat this. I don't want anyone praying alone. Lord God, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Change me. I want a new life. I surrender everything. I will follow you. Help me pursue spiritual health. I want to be strong for you and live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and dying for me. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.